The reading today is from Jonah 2, and it's on page 928 of the Church Bibles, if you wish to follow it. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, O Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Amen.
Amen. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that this story has been told for generations, two generations of children. Would we, as hungry people, hear your truth from this word now? Father, would you take everything that I've played with and just transform it for your glory? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, morning. 2 weeks ago, Dave Hopwood kicked us off into the next part of our hands journey with the opening chapter of Jonah, reminding us that we are in God's hands. We're coming from this place of what's in our hands to a place of we are in God's hands. And this week we're in Jonah 2, listening to Jonah speak of his experience of one who is living, however falteringly, in God's hands. A question for you: have you ever tried to run away from home? I'm told that as a baby, I didn't quite run away from home, but I did do a pretty good job of crawling away from home. And the story goes something along the lines of, the gate was left open, and I carpe diem'd the moment and ran, well, crawled for it. And I was found by a neighbor, a kind neighbor, happily crawling along the side of the main road that ran through Emsworth near Portsmouth. And I was scooped up and returned home to my wholly unaware parents. Just a few hours more, and I would have made it onto the ferry to France and escaped, and my years of planning would have come to fruition. Anyway, I was returned into the bosom of my family. And it took the kind arms of a neighbor to get me back on track, which I'm sure was eminently more appropriate for me as a baby than a belly of a whale or a huge fish, as it was for Jonah. Now, many of us try to run away from many things, but running away from God? How does that work out? The experience of running away from God famously found word in 1888 through the words of a poem by Francis Thompson, and the poem is called The Hound of Heaven. And it speaks of God's unceasing pursuit of those whom he is calling. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind and in the midst of tears. And both G.K. Chesterton and J.R.R. Tolkien would speak of this poem's deep influence in their own lives, faith, and writings. So how about you? How are you this morning? Do you find yourself being pursued by the hound of heaven? What brought you here today? A word to the wise and the weathered: turn and face your pursuer. Turn and face the Almighty God and be held in his life-transforming, life-giving embrace. It's a significantly better option than the stinking, windowless, darting and diving belly of a very large fish. Think of the worst roller coaster you can imagine, trapped inside a rotting tin of tuna. It's here we find Jonah. Now, I think it's helpful to clarify and remind ourselves that this huge fish, as the Bible calls it, is provision, not predator. This is God's unique way of saving and redirecting a fleeing Jonah, and creating faith and testimony amongst the ship's crew, and restoring faith and commitment in Jonah. And whilst the hound of heaven imagery speaks of an unrelenting pursuer, God does not pursue with aggression. Jesus did not come as an aggressor. The Holy Spirit is not aggressive. However, God is almighty, and he's in the business of bringing good out of us. Jesus is transforming, and so the great exchange in our lives can feel uncomfortable. And the Holy Spirit is wild and free, and so we can sometimes be overwhelmed by him. But all of this comes under the heading of good, under the understanding of provision, not predator, of almighty, not aggressor. And as we listen to what my friend Andrew Keenan refers to as Jonah's psalm, this, the chapter of Jonah 2, we can hear that what's being offered here is a song of praise, writ large with a definitive ending statement of salvation comes from the Lord. So let's dive into our passage together. Now you can find that on page 928 of our church Bibles. They are stacked around the windowsills, and you mustn't feel embarrassed to come and get them. We will get to a day where there's a church Bible on every seat in this church. I believe passionately that we are called to open God's word together. There are precious few places where that now happens. So if you can't see a Bible, grab one. And we will prop the passage up on the screen as well, so you can follow it there. But it's good to open the book. Fabulous. Got that? Lovely. Now, as we open this up together, I just want to say, I think Jonah understood God's word more than we think or give him credit for. I think Jonah was someone steeped in the scriptures. I believe Jonah had studied the Psalms extensively and that they were ingrained into him. In other words, Jonah opened the word of God with regularity and purpose. Sounds like a model for our lives, so we'll keep on going that way. Now, I'll be honest, I would gladly spend the next 2 hours in this sermon. Don't worry, I can't stand up that long. But in just verse 2 alone, this opening verse, and we're going to read it aloud together. Wonderful. Thank you. Let's read this together. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah is writing this from dry land. He's writing this from deliverance from a huge fish. And he's writing it having ceased his rebellion against God and having recommitted himself to God and his purposes. And he's reminding himself and us that he called out in distress and faith before he knew the outcome and relative security in which he now stands. Jonah knew that God heard him before the answer came. That's a pretty good definition of faith. And we know this, don't we? We know that God can give total peace of mind. He can give total assurance that prayer is answered even before the actual answer comes. So, who of us this week has called out to God in distress? God, help me. My parents don't understand me. Still. God, help me. My kids don't listen. Jesus, help. I can't do this. Jesus, save me. My life is slipping away. Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm lost. Holy Spirit, help me understand what's going on here. We call out to the Holy Trinity in distress, three for the price of one. And make no mistake, there was a price paid in full. Okay, so who of us, when we called out in distress, knew that God heard us? Help me, Lord. I know you've got this covered. Save me, Lord. Let me feel your hand. Have your way with me, Lord. I trust you. A final question then. Who has already seen or heard an answer to a distress call that they prayed earlier this week? Bless you. Scary moment. No need for detail. Anybody want to share that? Come on then, Jill. So we're going to keep it fairly brief.
Sure. Yes.
Tell me what happened. What did you cry out? What's happened that we can all share? Turn this way, my friend.
Sorry. Tried out to talk to Stuart, my youngest son. I've been trying to talk to him for quite a long time, like 3 months. He, in that time, has rung me twice when I've missed his calls. Problems with my phone. Now I find this morning problems with his phone too. And we've had a good conversation, and he's coming to see me in a few weeks' time. So,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you. Thank you. Anybody else with a distress call already answered? Okay. Well, let me share one that happened to me this week. It's a short one, don't worry. But I was walking along the road praying, and as I went, and I just said, God, help me. And quick as a flash, God replied, Ben, talk to me. Talk to me more, Ben. Call out to me more, Ben. Ask for my help more, Ben. Be more mine, Ben. You know, Jonah was called into relationship with God and given a mission for God's kingdom. It's no different for us. We are called into relationship with God and given a mission for God's kingdom. But to hear that call, to know his fatherhood, and to understand our mission, we need to talk to God and read of his wonders and provisions. Yes, share testimony of the wonders he performs in our lives, but dig into prayer, dig into his word. invest in your relationship with God with the same intensity that God invested into his relationship with us via Jesus. Jonah knew his Psalms. It was, after all, the available scripture of the day. And we know this because in the belly of that large fish, he cries out using sound bites of other psalms. And in Jonah's day, there were no LED torches or waterproof batteries, so that wasn't happening in the belly of the whale. And he didn't have the Zondervan pocketbook of psalms that so often finds itself in my traveling stuff. The scrolls were restricted to the temple, and so he learned them. He learned the psalms, and we have evidence of this. And other psalms erupt from him as he cries out in repentant and faithful prayer. Verse 2 is a localized version of Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And verses 3 to 7 are expressions of Psalm 42, 6. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And then Psalm 31, 22. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Jonah knew his scripture, and it's this ingrained truth that surfaces when all else is submerged. It's the ingrained truth of the Psalms that surfaces for Jonah when all else is submerged. And then just to settle this large fish evangelist delivery service that God provides, some people find this a hard concept to grasp or believe, but if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And Jesus, speaking of his own death and resurrection in Matthew 12:40, cites Jonah. And he says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus speaking, full credit, this happened. You know, there's more going on in the story of Jonah than first meets the eye. The story points directly towards the redeeming Christ who is yet to come. Read it again. Sit it with the Easter story and look for the parallels. So back to our Bibles then, and a final word on verse 2. We're going to read it aloud together one more time. So let's read out this verse again. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Fabulous. God listens to us. Wow. I mean, what a patient God he is. I say that because I spend most of my days moaning and mewling and puking and griping and whining, and that's just talking to Shirley. Hi, friend. She's my sounding board of graciousness. Bless you, sister. But we should be saying thank you to God for his patience. But not only does he listen to us, he answers us. And God still listens and speaks today. And this is the Almighty God. So he will speak how he chooses. And he's not restricted to clear verbatim instruction, although he does do that. But our role as his people is to look for the signs of where, how, and through or who and what God is speaking. You know, if you listen, you will hear God speaking through the trees and in all creation. If you read, you will hear him through the Holy Scriptures. If you pray, he will give you pictures and words. If you worship, he will sing over you. And he'll use your friends, he'll use your acquaintances, and he'll even use your perceived enemies. He might even use a huge fish. Our God, the God, Almighty God, who holds us in his hands, is still listening and speaking today. That's good news, right? Right. Well, the passage carries on, and verses 3 to 7 describe Jonah's plight, and as we've already started to grasp, they're littered with references to other psalms. And the end of verse 6 is a deeply physical statement of the God who holds us, who reaches down into the very depths of everything and lifts us from the pit. Do any of us feel like we've spent a little too long in the pit recently? Well, the great news is that we will be, are being lifted from that place in the hands of the Almighty God. This is amazing stuff. And in verse 7, Jonah's actions serve to remind us that prayer is so often the key. If life feels like it's ebbing away, then remember the Lord and let your prayer rise to his holy temple. About 3 and a bit, nearly 4 weeks ago, as I floated in the water at Widmouth Bay in Cornwall, unable to get up because I was paralyzed, having fallen and compressed my spine into the seabed, and yes, just like verse 5, seaweed was wrapped around my head, I prayed and God listened and responded. As I was held up by a host of strangers waiting for an ambulance, Zebedee prayed over me out loud, and his prayer rose to God's holy temple. God heard his cry, and he answered. As I lay strapped into the spinal cocoon in Barnstable Hospital, or the NDEGBDF, I think you know it as, Tammy and Shirley prayed, and their prayer rose to God's holy temple, and he answered. And so I stand here today as a physical, living, breathing, toe-wiggling, walking testimony to the God who lifted me from the pit. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the thing as a surfer I love is that the pit is a reference to where we spend half our time. The pit of the wave is where it all went wrong on that particular occasion. Friends, I'm coming into land, so don't worry. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Now, I want you to remember the context. I want you to remember where Jonah was trying to run away from with good reason. Dave gave us a great understanding of the very real danger, the mess, the idolatry of Nineveh, where worthless idols abound. Well, what are the worthless idols in our own life? Who do we idolize? Where do we misplace our gaze, love, and loyalty? Well, the phone in our pocket won't save us, can't save us, but wow, do we misplace our gaze upon it. The football team we love won't win us the cup of salvation. The job we have won't promote us to higher glory. The woman or man who has our undying loyalty won't hang on a cross for us. But I can hear the words of the gospel writer Matthew ringing in my ears. Matthew 6, 32 and 33. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them apart from football. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We are to be seekers of his kingdom and of his righteousness. So what does that look like tomorrow morning as we step into school, work, home, family, college, and life in general? What does it look like on a Monday morning? Well, maybe that first glance at your pocket device, phone, tablet, or whatever is because you have a verse of the day alarm set. Maybe it's your Bible reading guide calling you to carry on the journey of the book that you're working your way through. Maybe that non-stop debate at work with your friends about your football team's lineup becomes a non-stop invitation to Alpha and to sharing Jesus. That's the Son of God as opposed to the Brazilian footballer. Maybe in the busyness of our work lives, it's stopping to pray with a colleague, stopping to pray for ourselves, or just frankly, stopping to pray, and just resting a brief while in the Father's hands. Or maybe it's inviting our husband or wife to Alpha or to church. Or for men, maybe it's loving our wives as Christ loves his bride, the church, because that's selfless love. That's love that honors. So to close, we're going to read aloud together verse 9. And can I encourage you to use this as a marker, as a covenant, as a song of praise? It's a declaration of thanks, a declaration of hope. So let's read this out together. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Let's read that again. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Friends, we are in God's hands. Our God, the God, Almighty God, still listens and answers. Amen.